Welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Brought to you by TalkTheaterInChicago.com. Coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with Libby Mages. That's right, the Tony Award-winning producer of Thoroughly Modern Millie talks about her latest show, The Water Coolers, now playing at the Lakeshore Theater. Also, Tom Williams will be bringing you two more audio reviews. And of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back, relax, and get ready to talk some theater. Hello, Chicago, and welcome to Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, giving you the theater news for the week of July 3rd, 2006. Profiles Theater will be kicking off its 2006-2007 season by presenting the Midwest premiere of Neil LaBute's award-winning play, Fat Pig. Now, as many of you may remember, Fat Pig won the Outer Critics Circle Award for Outstanding Off-Broadway Play back in 2005. Well, now this award-winning show will be opening at the Profiles on September 14th. Now, this marks only the third time that Fat Pig has been produced since its premiere back in 2004. And this Midwest premiere marks the continuing collaboration between Profiles Theater and Mr. LaBute after they produced his other Midwest premiere, Autobahn. The show will be directed by Profiles Theater Artistic Director and will feature Daryl W. Cox. Do not miss it. For those Independence Day partiers out there looking for a show to see, why don't you head on up and check on out the neo-futurist Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind. Their special July 4th performance will be followed by a fantastic dance party, and the ticket prices do include beer. So don't forget to head on up and check out the neo-futurist's Too Much Light Makes the Baby Go Blind July 4th spectacular. That will definitely be a party not to be missed. The Bohemian Theater Ensemble's successful musical, Sideshow, will be closing its run on July 9th at the Theater Building Chicago, but rumblings are about that Boho Theater will be moving its hit Sideshow to another theater on the north side to give more people a chance to see this hidden gem. Stay tuned to Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast for more details. Well, in a little bit of national news, it seems like the national tour of Hairspray is having some problems. Now, as many of you know, Hairspray did start off with a Las Vegas production that simply could not make it. And now the first national tour of the show can't make it as well. Portland will be the final stop on the tour, with more cities that had been planned, but not enough tickets have been sold. But don't worry, folks. A non-union version of the hit show is in the works. Hairspray isn't over yet. Emerald City Theater will cap off its most successful season in its 10-year history with a brief, and I do mean brief, summer remount of its 2005-2006 season finale, The Jungle Book. Performances of the Emerald City's hit family musical will be moving from the company's regular home at the Apollo Theater to the Athenaeum Theater's main stage for three shows, and I do mean three shows only. Those shows will be Tuesday through Thursday, July 12th through the 14th at 11 a.m. Now, if you have kids and you love Kipling's classic tale, The Jungle Book, then get on out and see possibly the greatest jungle adventure of all time. Well, thank you for listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's news podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with more Chicago theater news ready to stick in your ear. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's review podcast. Here is my review of The Water Coolers. The Water Coolers, an office musical, created by Thomas Michael Allen and Sally Allen, directed by Kurt Johns and Linda Parsons, produced by Libby Adler Mages at the Lakeshore Theater. Water Coolers pokes fun at the modern workplace. The Water Coolers, an office musical, reminds one of the long-running I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, except that it is about getting through a work week at the office. This is a humorous, lightweight show filled with slickly polished scenes and tuneful songs that satirizes the trials, tribulations, and joys of office work. It is more of a review than a book musical. It deals with work life, children, husbands, wives, business travel, and our dependency on technology. Political correctness and obsession with Palm Pilot are highlighted, but no cheap shots are taken in this family-friendly show. This is a spoof of office work without being one of those attacks on the boss. In fact, bosses will enjoy this. The five characters are trying to deal with the stress of balancing work and family as they struggle to meet the deadlines for the presentation on Friday afternoon. Told through witty, funny, and cute songs, The Water Coolers is a treat for the 30-something set. This is a fine date show that zips along smoothly. Meet the five players. Frank, played by Adam Kozlowski, the guy who does the minimum and is a smart aleck, must be right all the time. He sings, "Unless It's From Me," to indicate his ego. Brooke is played by Tempe Thomas, the youthful idealist with energy to burn and a winning smile. She lands "It's Me" with confidence. Steve, played by Matthew Amador, is the good-looking office stud who flaunts his beauty in "Hottie," a song of acceptance. Judy, played by Holly Strutter, the team leader and strong female whose ambition is stated nicely in her song, "One Rung at a Time." Glenn is played by Jason Bale. He's the IT guy who has trouble dealing with people. He lands his song, "The Great Pretender," with aplomb. Filled with clever, forbidden Broadway-style song parodies and bouncy original music, The Water Coolers is a funny and fulfilling night of entertainment. I especially like the paranoid chorus, where the players pondered what the boss really means. There's a rip on Oliver's "Who Will Buy," only they call it "Who Will Buy This Crap From My Kid's School," that was funny and clever and a great ensemble number. We hear parodies of songs such as "Manic Monday" by Prince, "In My Room" by Gary Usher and Brian Wilson, and "I've Gotta Be Me" by Walter Marx. These work to enrich the show with cuteness that conveyed a lighthearted take on life and the office. Tempe Thomas and Adam Kozlowski stand out with their energetic treatment of the material. The cast singing is excellent, with fine harmonies and strong voices that allowed all the humor while landing the proper emotions in each song. Water Coolers, an office musical, is a pleasing show that relates well to modern corporate life. It appeals as a date show and one that your office entertainment committee needs to book. With such fine talent and clever material, The Water Coolers could have a long, successful run here in Chicago. Put a note in your office's suggestion box about having the entire office come and see this delightful show. My rating on this show, recommended. It is at the Lakeshore Theater, 3175 North Broadway, just south of Belmont Avenue on Broadway. The running time is 90 minutes with intermission. The phone number for tickets, 773-477-7666. That's 773-477-7666. This is Tom Williams saying, go see a play this week. Thank you. Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's Review Podcast. Here is my review of Movin' Out. Movin' Out, conceived, choreographed, and directed by Twyla Tharp, based on the songs of Billy Joel at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. Improved, polished, Movin' Out energizes the auditorium stage. When I first saw Movin' Out on its way to Broadway, the concept startled me and left me with mixed feelings. This improved, tighter, and thoroughly pleasing production made me a believer. The infectious Billy Joel tunes molded the story of five teams from the 1960s, with terrific numbers such as For the Longest Time, Uptown Girl, She's Got Away, and New York State of Mind. Among the 26 songs, Movin' Out is a feast for Billy Joel fans as well as for dance show enthusiasts. Brenda and Eddie are finished while James and Judy are ready for marriage, leaving Tony pining for the changed Brenda. The Vietnam War takes the boys and James doesn't come back. Tony and Eddie are shaken by the experience in Vietnam. Drugs and alcohol are destroying Eddie, and Judy helps him find the way. Brenda and Tony rediscover the love needed to heal their wounds. This is the basic storyline told through the amazing music of Billy Joel and the tremendous energetic dancers. The story is told with Billy Joel's lyrics. The energetic choreography of Twyla Tharp really amazed everyone. Full of fast-paced leaps and lifts, we see the macho boys and the sleek, sensual girls. The clever movements in this jukebox modern ballet marvels the senses. Filled with roaring and complex Joel numbers and the stellar lighting and amplified emotions of young love and the horrors of war and the self-loathing of drug abuse are vividly played out until love, reconciliation, and friendship finally heals the wounds from growing up. Movin' Out contains so much energy, so many familiar rocking Billy Joel tunes, done with terrific singing from Darren Holden, who alternates with Matthew Friedman, and a terrific sounding band featuring horns, reeds that complement the piano, guitars, and percussion. Joel's tunes were a robust blend of pop rock, R&B, with hints of jazz. The show is so demanding that there are two alternating lead singers, two alternating teams of dancers. The performance I saw, Elizabeth Parkinson as Brenda and Keith Roberts as Tony, revived the original roles that they played on Broadway, while Rasta Thomas was splendid as the high-kicking manic Eddie. Movin' Out isn't a musical. It's a jukebox danceicle or a 21st century modern ballet. Whatever you might call it, Movin' Out is a breathtakingly exhilarating show with toe-tapping tunes, slick dynamic dancing. This show is fun. My rating for this show, recommended. It is at the Auditorium Theater in Chicago. The running time is 2 hours. The ticket prices run from $18 to $80. And the number for tickets is 312-902-1400. That's 312-902-1400. This is Tom Williams thanking you for listening. And remember, go see a play this week or a ballet. Hello, this is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's Interview Podcast. My special guest for today is the Tony Award-winning producer, Libby Adler-Majes, whose current show, The Water Coolers, an Office Musical, has just opened at the Lakeshore Theater, and it is a marvelous show. Say hello, Libby.
Hello, Tom.
Tell us about The Water Cooler. I just thought it was a terrific show.
I love it. I'm very proud of the show. It's such fun. It's hilarious. and you don't have to have ever been in an office to enjoy it. It's just plain funny. It's a satire on office life. The audiences give it a standing ovation every night, and they're sending other people to see it, and we're very happy about it.
Yes, it is. Who's ever in charge of your entertainment committee ought to order tickets for the show, because I think people, particularly those in an office, are really going to relate to it. And people who don't normally go to theater are going to go and find it such a funny show.
It is funny and fun. You know, when we were just preparing it, we had audiences come in to give us comments. And the comments were, best show I've seen in a long time, right on. I know those people. And you can identify with the people. And you can have a wonderful time.
Yes, it is. It's a show that was created by Thomas Michael Allen and Sally Allen, but it also had several other people do the writing. These people did their homework. And it's office friendly. It spoofs everything in the office, but it's a family show in the sense that it's not really negative at all.
Oh no, it's not. Well, you know, Sally Allen used to work in an office for many years, so this material was material she lived with and lived in the office.
Well, tell us how you guys came about the show. I know you're a producer, and we'll get into your story a little bit later, but how did this show come about? Did you guys discover it or what?
Well, we went to a reading for it, a backer's audition, and we were laughing so, and I said, this is something I want to be part of. And so we got the rights, and we did it.
Okay.
And the cast is superb. The cast is better than any cast they've had. They were in off-Broadway in New York 2 years ago.
Okay, so it does have some history, right?
It has a little history.
Okay.
It's in Rochester, New York for some time, and they love it. And when we saw it, we said, we want it for Chicago. We felt it was perfect for this climate. But they said the cast we have here is the best cast they've ever had.
Oh, well.
They're wonderful.
Well, I mean, you got Matthew Amador, Jason Bale, Adam Kozalski, Holly Strutter, and Tempe Thomas.
They're all
yes.
wonderful. And they work as an ensemble. One's not better than the other. They're all very, very good. And as many times as I've seen it, I laugh out loud because it is funny.
Yes, it certainly is. And you've got, it pokes innocent fun at just about everything that happens in an office. I mean, right from the water cooler to some of the spoofs on different office lights. I like that, what they did musically with it, too.
I do, too. And there are a lot of parodies, and there's
yes.
some original music, too. So you have a combination of both. I love certain, you know, each of us like different songs, but they're all great.
Well, tell us your favorites.
Well, I guess I like most of them, but I thought In My Cube is very funny.
Yes.
And Paranoia is hysterical.
Yeah, Paranoia is the one where they're always, it's not what's said, it's what they really think, and they're all a little nervous about what the boss and other people think of them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're wondering who's, it's one-upmanship.
Mm-hmm.
That person's going with the higher-ups. Well, what about me? That kind of thing.
Yeah, and it shows the balance between trying to get to this project at the end of the week that they're all working on, the big presentation, between balancing that, the pressures of that, getting along, and balancing home life and family life.
And that's prevalent today
yes,
in
it
many,
certainly
many
is.
Homes.
Yeah.
That people have, you know, two people have jobs, and they have children, and who takes care of whom and what. And it can be charming. The show is charming.
Yes, it has a lot of
charm. But it's also very funny.
Yeah, and it's light. And like Adam Kozalski, I thought is so terrific, because he's a big guy, and what he does athletically in some of the dance and some of his comedic bits are just made me break up.
It's amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't expect them to do those dances.
No. And, I mean, you would expect them to dance a little bit, but he's terrific. It's funny how the bigger guys really light a foot, and he's hysterical.
Well, and I also like I'm a Hottie.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah, every office has their pretty boy, or whoever one
That's
who thinks
right.
he's a pretty boy.
That's right.
And he's not afraid to say it, and
But, and The Great Pretender?
Oh.
Ah, that was just, that's Jason Bale. That was marvelous.
Yeah, he's a major talent.
Well, they are. This cast is great. And I loved My Palm. I thought that was just charming and warm and funny, and everyone could relate to it.
Particularly the younger audiences, yes. I mean, I don't have one yet, and eventually I will probably get one. And I would say around half the people that are going to be listening to this podcast are going to be listening to it on one of those little machines. So they'll have an ode to their little machine in there, and it's very clever.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's like a love song, but it's really to the machine.
Yes.
My Palm.
And to the whole thing of technology. And the number Jason Bale was in when he's the IT guy.
Oh,
that
funny.
Is so clever. I've gone through that help desk thing where you have to try and get an answer.
We all have.
Yeah, and
that's what makes it so funny. Yeah. We can relate to it, saying, "I know that happened to me."
Yeah. That's what, and that's what shows like this are about. This is not about the truth. This is not about high drama. This is entertainment.
Yes, very
old fashioned. You go there, you have fun, you laugh, and you pointed out something to me earlier. That at the Lakeshore Theater, they have a bar there, and you can bring the drinks inside, right?
That's right. It's almost like a party.
Yeah.
And the Lakeshore is so easy to get to because it's on Broadway.
It's on Belmont and Broadway, right? It's
two doors south of Belmont.
On Broadway.
And all kinds of transportation.
Okay. That's a good place for a little commercial for the show. It is running Thursdays and Fridays at 8, Saturdays at 5 and 8, and Sundays at 3.
Yes.
And how long is it going to be running?
Well, hope forever.
It's on an open run.
No, right now we're selling for the next 6 weeks.
For the next 6 weeks.
Next 6 weeks.
Okay. And
so people should get in there and see it.
Yeah. And you were telling me, and I've heard that groups from the offices are coming to see it.
Oh, yes. And they're group rates. So that you get a percentage off if you have 10 or more people.
All right, let me give the phone number, 773-472-3492. Once more, 773-472-3492. That's for the water coolers at the Lakeshore Theater. We also have the review roundup here. And the reviews have been very positive on the show.
Oh, yes. We're just delighted.
And rightfully so. It is so refreshing to just go and just relax and have a good time at a show.
I feel that way.
Yeah. Well, another gem. But this isn't the first gem that you've had. I did introduce you as the Tony Award-winning producer. And, folks, I had the honor of seeing Libby's Tony. And it anytime you get close to that award, it just gives you goosebumps, doesn't it?
Well, it was always my dream to have a Tony Award, so I said, now I can die happy. But I also got another Tony Award for Say Goodnight Gracie. That was for the best touring show.
Outstanding.
Nationally.
And, of course, we didn't mention it was Thoroughly Modern Millie was what your Tony
was for, yes.
And that was for best musical.
That's right.
That's one of the categories.
It won many awards, but that was the one that I got because the producer gets that.
Wow. That's great. And tell us let's go back into your background. What got you into producing? Let's go back a little bit, because those of us who are around Chicago theater do know you, but a lot of our listeners, this will be the first time they're being introduced to you.
Well, I never wanted to be a producer. I wanted to be an actor.
Okay, but what's your background? Let's go back.
But the problem was I didn't have the talent or the personality to be an actor. But I always wanted to be near theater, and I went to shows all the time. And even in college, I was in theater. Theater was part of my life and still is, of course. I say I live in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But then I read a script, and my friend said, would you like to read this? My roommate wrote it. And I said, sure. Well, when I read it, I just flipped. I fell in love with it. It was beautiful. I thought it had to be done. And my husband read it, and he said, oh, yes, he liked it. He wasn't a theater person. He was in finance. He wasn't in theater at all. And we were asked to produce it on Broadway, and I said, we were newlyweds. And I said, let's do it.
This was when, 19?
Oh, God. 1960.
60, okay.
60.
Okay.
Yeah, 60. And I said, it could change our lives, and it has to be seen. I said, I don't know if it'll make money, but it has to be seen. It's beautiful. And a friend said to him, are you crazy? You're going to do an all-black show in 1960? You'll lose your shirt. Well, I didn't feel that way, and he didn't feel that way. It was a beautiful show. We wanted to do it. But that frightened him because we were young, and he was trying to make a living, and if he'd lose his shirt, that wouldn't be such a good thing.
Particularly when you're young and starting out, yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, I called my friend and said, let's each put in a few hundred dollars, because at that time you could. Now you can't. Mm-hmm. Now a minimum usually of an investment is usually at least 10,000 or more. Mm-hmm. There, we break it down to tens, but it really is much higher.
Yeah,
like
I would
a unit could be 90,000, but we say you can have a part of that at 10 or above, whatever, 50 or whatever you want. And she said, it's too late. I'll never know if it was too late.
But it was too late for you
to invest. They had all their money.
Okay.
And she said, but she's giving a big party for the cast. And she took over this hotel room, and it was a gorgeous party. And I thought to myself, something's wrong with this picture. The name of that show was A Raisin in the Sun.
Wow. One of the great plays of all time, Tess.
I loved it. I love it today.
Yes, I do too.
And we knew Sidney Poitier was in it. We knew Claudia McNeil was in it. And here she entertained for these people, for her friends, spends a lot of money, a few thousand dollars, but didn't put any money in the show. And I thought, there's something wrong with this picture.
I agree.
From that moment on, I thought, maybe I know something, and I became a producer.
That is a great story. And so what was your first show?
Do Black Patent Leather Shoes Really Reflect Up?
Wow.
I helped John Powers write that. We were both part of the faculty at Northeastern Illinois University.
So you were a professor, right?
Yes.
You taught what? English and drama?
Speech.
Speech, okay.
Yes, speech and theater.
Speech and theater.
Well, I have voice and diction and different speech courses. And we became fast friends, and we decided to do this. I said, your books, he was a very good writer, would make a wonderful show. And he said, do you know what to do? I said, yes, and if I don't, I know where to go. And it's like we got together and said, let's put on a show. Except we knew a lot about theater because we've been going to theater for so many years. And we put together a wonderful team. Rocco Jans, who's at Shakespeare now.
That's right.
Was one of the composers.
Okay.
And Jim Quinn was the other one. They both were composers and lyricists. My dear friend, and I think my revered friend, Mike Nussbaum was the director.
Oh, Mike, I didn't know that.
He directed the original. The first director.
Okay.
And we were off to the races. And I'm happy to say it was a big success. And that was in 1980, 79 or 80, that we opened. It's still going around the country.
Well, they're going to have a revival of it at Theater at the Center. Bill Polinsky's directing it.
That's right.
It's coming up in a couple of weeks. We're going to be covering that.
Oh,
you know, I remember seeing that show. And I remember relating to it because I'm the Irish Catholic kid from the Northwest Side, which is very similar. And I remember reading the book that was a bestseller forever.
Well, both books together. Yeah, yeah. The Last Catholic in America and Do Black Patent Leather Shoes Really Reflect Up?
So you took both books and made it into
Yes, but we used the title from the second book.
Well, it's such a great title. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And it's another cute show. So that showed right away that you were born to be a producer, because producing, a lot of it is judgment, isn't it? Picking the right show and having that vision.
Well, I don't think it's a compliment, but people say to me, well, you seem to pick shows people like. And I thought, well, thank you. I'm very pleased if you think I do. But I follow my heart. My
you
heart
follow
and
it.
My head. Oh. But it's really what I pick and choose. And I pick and choose in things that I believe in. I'm not a gambler.
Okay.
I don't like to gamble. But I'm a risk taker. And I take risks on things that I believe in.
Okay. So it you feel has an audience. I mean, the business side.
Oh,
of
yes,
it. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because there are
people want to see it.
I mean, Bertolt Brecht and some of that stuff can be artistically interesting, but who's the audience?
Well, you know, I've done both.
Okay.
I was one of the producers of Three Tall Women. That's Edward Albee.
Yes.
And that's art. That's not really entertainment.
I would agree with you. It's a strange play.
Yes. So I've done both sides of the coin. And I love theater. I love all aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. You're on the Jeff Committee here in Chicago. You're a voter for the Tonys. And every time, I mean, I go to a lot of theater. I reviewed over 300 shows last year, and I swear that you were at just about every one of them.
Yeah, I say I live in the theater, and I think I see a lot of shows with the Jeff Committee, and at one time I was the chairperson of the Jeff Committee, and I respect them and think they do a wonderful
yes,
job.
Yes, I agree. I think they pretty much get it right. A very good judgment. And that's hard when you consider it's 45 people.
Well, there are a lot of shows to see.
Yeah.
But our goal is to give credit to excellence in Chicago theater. And there's a lot of excellence in Chicago theater. We're no longer the second city.
I agree.
I'm a Tony voter, too, and I think New York has wonderful theater. But we're no slouch. We're right up there.
Well, you notice readers of Perform, Inc. notice that they come here for a lot of the auditions for touring, to mount the tourings of shows. And now there's a lot of casting, like Felicia Fields, who we were talking about earlier, that was a Chicago actor. You helped discover her, didn't you?
Well, not really, but Julie Shannon wrote a show, and I saw Felicia, and I thought, she's marvelous. And on Broadway right now in Color Purple, for me, she was the outstanding person in the show. When she came on, the stage lit up and they gave her such an ovation. It was wonderful. And that's Chicago talent. I'm proud of Chicago talent.
Well, look at Shakespeare. Barbara Gaines is taking all of the top people. And I really respect what she did was to take all the people that helped her build Chicago Shakespeare into a world-class classical theater. And she's taking them to London. People like your friend Mike Nussbaum have relatively small parts in the show, but she was with them, and she's honoring them by taking them to London. And that will showcase Chicago talent.
Oh, yes. Well, Chicago people are known all over the country now.
All right. And you had a lot to do with that because of the shows that you brought up. I remember trying not too long ago that you took to New York. That was marvelous.
Oh, I thought it was beautiful. Fritz Weaver did a job that's second to none. I've seen it all over the country, and they're all excellent. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story.
Okay.
I was in Florida, and I always take classes in Florida. And one was in classic theater. And Nick, who the leader of the class, came up to me and said, "Libby, you have to see the show. It's the best show I've seen in years." And I knew what was coming. And I said, "Oh, which one, Nick?" He said, "Trying." I said, "Didn't you see a familiar name there as the producer?" And he said, "Oh, my God." And he asked the class if they had seen it, and they all just raved. I'm very proud of that show, too.
That's nice to hear, yes. And that's one of the few shows that I know Hedy Weiss, and I planned it, but it just didn't work out. We wanted to go see it a second time to just enjoy it. The first time we're there as a critic, you know, and you're taking notes and you're sort of analyzing it. And but I think Hedy did come the second time to see the show just to enjoy it.
I have to tell you, it's sort of funny because Fritz Weaver is a superb actor. And I said, "There's something wrong with your acting, Chris." And he looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "You make me cry." And he laughed because he's very touching. He's just a beautiful actor.
Yeah, and again, that kudos to Victory Gardens for first mounting that show.
They do good work at Victory Gardens.
Yes, they do.
And when I saw it there, that's when I knew I had to take it to New York.
Okay, so that was one again. That's part. So when you're out seeing shows, you're seeing them as a theater lover. You're seeing him as a member of the Jeff Committee, and you have that eye for getting possibly getting the rights or taking it to Broadway or a national tour as a producer.
Yes.
Wow, that's great. And I understand that that you're open to new material too. That you have.
Oh, I am. We're working on several new shows right now. We're shaping them. One that I'm very excited about is called Rockne.
Okay.
The musical.
Tell us about Wow.
Well, it's about Newt Rockne, but it's not like the movie.
So it's not the win one for the Gipper kind of thing.
Well, no, but the Gipper's in it, of course.
Yeah, sure.
But it's not that. But it's the story of Newt Rockne's life and how he put Notre Dame on the map.
Yes, he did.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful story. It's touching.
It's a biography musical.
Yes,
you would say.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not a musical comedy, although there are some funny parts in it. Mm-hmm. It's really a driving musical that people will love to see and find out about. It's beautiful.
And it's one of the writers is one of our local favorites.
Well, yes. Mark Robin is helping co-write the script. The book and the musical, there was a book and a musical that Buddy Farmer out of California wrote. And he wrote a miniseries. And we found that the miniseries was excellent.
Okay.
And so we got Mark Robin to work with Buddy, and they're putting together the script for Rockne the Musical. And then Mark's going to direct and choreograph it.
Great. And I mean, he is such a major talent.
Yes. And Rocco Jans is like going back to my beginnings. He was the first composer. He's writing the music. It's very exciting.
Oh, wow. You think this could be the next big show?
I hope so. And we also are working on another show that's fun. Lots of fun. It's called The Baby Boomer's Guide to Love and Sex.
Now, that's a great title. That alone brings a few people.
Yes, it's entertainment.
Okay.
And it is the story about people in their 40s and the baby boomers, 40s and 50-ish, and those who didn't get married and who are still looking. And it's fun. It's an interesting, fun
show.
A
lot of us are going to be able to relate to that. I'm a little older than the baby boomers, but not by much. I'm pretty close.
No, it doesn't. You know, I'm far, but I relate to it too. I think it's very interesting. Scott Urban wrote it, and Bob Salone wrote the music. It's original music. So is Rockne. It's all original.
Wow.
And that's very exciting.
Yes, it is. Now, take us through a little bit of the process of that. And let's go back to Millie for a moment as a parallel. When you got involved in producing Millie, was that pretty much a finished show, or was that still in development? Were they still writing it and smoothing it out?
Well, I'd say it was pretty near production.
Okay, production.
And Sutton Foster had just come into the show.
Okay.
Because she was an understudy and part of the chorus kind of thing. And they were looking for someone to take over Millie. They said, why are we looking when she went in? She was so excellent. And my daughter is my partner, my daughter, Mari Stewart. And it worked out very well. Mari loved it, and we did it together.
Okay.
We were one of the producers.
So that show had been pretty much ready when you got involved as producers. So,
It was always in flux because it wasn't open yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always enjoyed it, and even on the tour we had some of our local people. Hollis Resnick was in it first.
She was funny.
She did it for a while, and what did you think of the version Marriott did of it not too long ago, of Millie, a Thoroughly Modern Millie?
Yes, which version?
That Marriott, Lincolnshire.
Oh, I didn't get to see it.
I heard it was
even better than the New York one.
You know,
Mark did that one.
Yes, I thought it was better than the last tour that came through. I did not see the one in New York, and I thought what Mark did with it, he really added, I think, to the dance, and he just tightened it up.
I would have loved to have seen it. I wasn't in town, or I would have gone.
Okay. Yeah, you were probably down in Florida during that time.
I was recuperating. Wasn't.
How is your health, by the way, for those
Fine.
Of you? Yeah, because you're looking good. You've got a lot of spunk.
I'm back to my old self again.
That's great. And so on the horizon, we have this The Water Coolers, which is a terrific show, and make sure you get to the Lakeshore Theater to see that, because that show is absolutely dynamite. It's fun.
Right now. Yeah. The others are in pipes in the sky. You know, they're being developed. But this one is going strong and very, very happily doing well.
Yeah, and as it should. It's a top light entertainment show that you just go out and have a good time. Like you said, you come out with a smile on your face.
You do.
We very much like it. But what's exciting, though, is that you guys aren't letting any grass grow on you. While that's going, you've got these two more shows. I'm really excited about the Rockne show. Is that what are we, within a year for that?
Well, we hope to have it polished and ready to go into production, we hope, by next year.
Great. Great. That the timing.
Now, in the Baby Boomers, we hope to have our staged reading or backers audition in September, on the 18th of September. So that's almost ready to go now.
That's almost ready to go now. Oh, that's great. And again, what's great is you guys tap into the top equity talent here in Chicago for the show.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We have a wonderful talent pool in Chicago.
I agree. And New York's starting to discover that. And also, the other thing, you know, is happening is the New York actors are trying real hard to come here and work in the shows here. And I've had a couple of them tell me, like working at Marriott or Drury Lane or Chicago Shakespeare, they get nervous coming here because they know what's at stake, that we're good audiences, but that there is a standard.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. We're known as a theater city, and we have so many theaters in Chicago. And they're all wonderful. Not only the big ones, but the small storefront theaters. Talent is talent.
I agree.
And you can find good people wherever you go. And you spot them, you know, right away.
Well, I'm sure you saw when you see shows like Fiorello that Timeline just did.
Oh,
wasn't that magnificent?
Unbelievable.
And you wonder why. I can see why producers like yourself haven't produced that show in years, because it's such a big show.
You know, they did a job that was spectacular.
I don't know if you saw a Sideshow.
I saw it years ago. I haven't seen this one.
The local production of that, I think, is almost on the par with Fiorello ads. And these are non-equity shows and smaller storefronts doing. But, folks, that doesn't mean anything in terms of the talent.
No.
That I know that when I go almost every night, the fun is discovering, as I know you like, is discovering these terrific little shows and certain talents. Like you have someone in your show, that Tempe Thomas, the young girl who's new in Chicago. And, boy, is she dynamite in the Water Coolers.
Well, yes, and she was non-equity. She became equity in Water Coolers.
And I remember her telling me after she did Spitfire Grill, Tim Gregory's show, which was terrific. That was another, I think, Jeff recommended show. And she told me, she says, you know, I'm hoping to get in this big show that's coming. I can't talk about it until I hope I get it. Well, we know what the show is now. And I think she's going to be a star.
Well, as I said, I'm very proud of Water Coolers.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of all the cast. Holly Stoddard is wonderful.
Yes,
Bass
she is.
Great.
She is.
Jason is just charming.
And they get along. They get along so well. The chemistry. You can tell if people are playing a part, or if they get along and they're projecting that they're having fun, and they really project that positive.
And Matt is very funny.
Yes, he is.
Very funny, and the five of them do a spectacular job. It's a great ensemble.
How long, let me ask you this, how long was the rehearsal process for that show?
It was a short rehearsal process, but we had it in previews for several weeks so that they could get familiar with the material, because we had a very short rehearsal process.
Well, that's a testimony to good casting and talent and excellent direction.
And we were working out some of the kinks. We added some new songs to the show that hadn't been in before.
Okay.
And we wanted to try them out.
Okay. Well, let's give a little commercial for the show in the minute or so we have left. It's the show is The Water Coolers, an office musical. It's at the Lakeshore Theater, and it runs Thursday through
Thursday at 8, eight. Friday at 8,
okay.
Saturday at 8, and Sunday at 3.
Okay. Isn't there a 5 o'clock on Saturday?
No, there was, but okay. There's another show that's there now.
Oh, there's another show. Okay. So there's 4 performances a week.
That's right.
And they better get advance tickets, right? Because it's been selling out pretty good, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
So you should call. The number is 773-472-3492. All right, in the last minute or two I have left. Oh, by the way, you know, we failed to mention that you were one of the producers of Swing, which is show that I absolutely love. I mean, talk about a dance show. Wow, that had to be fun. And Jim Sherman, who was a guest on this interview show, you did his Bo Jest.
In New York.
Yes. And mm-hmm. and he said it ran a couple of years, 2.5 years in New York.
Very, very well.
Yeah. And he's another local talent.
Oh, yes. And we found that here.
Yes, we did. And he's one of the resident playwrights for Victory Gardens Theater. Mm-hmm. Of all the shows, I'm going to put you on the spot. Of all the shows, name me a couple of your favorites.
Well, that's hard to say.
I know.
To me, my favorites are the ones that I'm working on at that moment.
Okay.
Because I'm all involved in them. But we did loads of them.
Yes. What are you most proud? Doesn't mean it has to be your biggest hit or whatever.
It's hard to say which are best. Of course, I thought Three Tall Women with Edward Albee was very special.
Okay.
And Millie I love. And my first, you know, your first child is always your special one. And that's Do Black Patent Leather Shoes Really Were Played Up. And then the baby, which means the one most recent.
Yeah.
Was Water Coolers, and I feel that way about that, too.
Okay.
I think you'll really enjoy it. Say Goodnight Gracie was spectacular with Frank Orshin.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he died.
Yes, he did.
And that was at the end of the run because we did not feel that we wanted to put somebody else in that role at that time. He was very, very good.
Yes, he was. And that was some strong material.
He was very exceptional. I saw him not only on Broadway, I saw him in Florida. And they wouldn't let him off the stage afterwards. They just wouldn't. They said that he did a better job than they thought the original.
That says a lot. Because when you're playing a legend.
That's right.
Well, Libby, I'm just so honored to have you on the show because of what you've contributed to theater worldwide and certainly in Chicago. And they know you well in New York, too. And just keep up the good work. I'm really looking forward to your next couple of shows. And folks, you got to get out to the Water Coolers because it is cute entertainment, and you'll have fun. Libby, what keeps you going?
Theater.
Enjoying it.
Yes, it's part of my life.
Yes, and I know I see you at the shows 2 or 3 times a week, and it is fun. It does keeps us out of trouble, doesn't it?
I love it.
Yes, I do too, and it comes across well. Keep up your good health and good luck on your next couple of shows.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for listening to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast, brought to you by talktheaterinchicago.com. But before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from All's Well That Ends Well, Act 1, Scene 1. Our remedies oft in ourselves do lie. Well, I can't thank you enough for listening to Talk Theater in Chicago, the podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Mote, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.